Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. A Little History of Economics by Niall Kishtany offers a brisk, story-driven tour of how economic ideas emerged, clashed, and reshaped everyday life. Rather than treating economics as a set of formulas, the book presents it as a debate about real problems: why societies grow richer, why crises recur, how markets should be governed, and what fairness means. Kishtany introduces major thinkers and movements in a narrative that moves from early reflections on trade and money to the rise of capitalism, industrialization, modern macroeconomics, and contemporary concerns such as inequality and globalization. Along the way, he highlights the historical settings that made certain theories persuasive and the consequences, good and bad, of putting them into practice. Written for general readers, the book aims to make complex concepts approachable without stripping them of nuance. It functions as both an entry point for newcomers and a clarifying overview for those who want to see how today's arguments connect to centuries of intellectual conflict. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, economics as a response to real-world change. A central theme is that economic thinking develops when societies face disruptive changes. The book frames early ideas about trade, money, and state power as attempts to understand expanding commerce, colonial competition, and the rise of national markets. As economies became more interconnected, questions about prices, wages, and prosperity could not be answered solely by tradition or moral philosophy, so new frameworks emerged. The narrative shows how economic concepts are often shaped by the problems people are trying to solve: inflation and scarcity in wartime, poverty in rapidly growing cities, or instability when financial markets spread risk. This historical approach helps readers see economics less as a single doctrine and more as a toolbox created under pressure. It also explains why debates persist. Different eras prioritize different goals, such as growth, stability, or equality, and those priorities push thinkers toward different conclusions about markets and government. By anchoring theories in their historical context, the book makes clear why ideas that seem abstract today were once practical responses to urgent dilemmas, and why later generations revise them when conditions changed. Secondly, from classical thinkers to the logic of markets, the book introduces the emergence of classical economics, focusing on how thinkers tried to explain wealth creation and the coordination power of markets. It covers the shift from viewing commerce as a zero-sum contest to seeing production and specialization as engines of rising living standards. Key classical themes include the division of labor, incentives, and the way prices can transmit information about scarcity and demand. At the same time, the book emphasizes that classical writers were not simply cheerleaders for unregulated markets. They worried about monopoly power, exploitation, and the social costs of industrialization, and they debated what the state should do about education, infrastructure, and poverty. By tracing these arguments, the book helps readers understand why modern discussions about free trade, regulation, and competition policy echo older controversies. The narrative also shows how the classical tradition laid foundations for later schools, including the focus on growth, productivity, and distribution. Readers come away with a clearer sense of why markets can be remarkably effective at organizing complex activity, and why their outcomes can still be contested on moral and political grounds. Thirdly, revolutions in value, choice, and the mathematics of scarcity. As the story moves forward, the book explains how economics became more focused on individual decisions and the marginal trade-offs people make under constraints. This shift helped economists describe consumer choice, business pricing, and resource allocation with greater precision, and it encouraged the use of models to test how changes in incentives might alter behavior. The book presents these developments as a response to puzzles classical theories struggle to resolve, such as how value relates to usefulness versus production costs. It also highlights the benefits and limits of abstract modeling. On one hand, simplified models can reveal hidden relationships, clarify assumptions, and make policy arguments more explicit. On the other, models can mislead when they ignore institutions, power, and uncertainty. By discussing these tensions, the book prepares readers to interpret economic claims critically. It also connects the marginal approach to practical issues such as taxation, market design, and competition, where small changes at the margin can significantly affect outcomes. The larger lesson is that modern economics is as much about disciplined reasoning with constraints as it is about any single conclusion regarding how societies should organize production and exchange. Fourthly, booms, busts, and the rise of macroeconomic management. A major portion of the book addresses why capitalist economies experience cycles, crises, and sudden surges of unemployment. It explains how the Great Depression and other disruptions pushed economists to look beyond individual markets and examine economy-wide spending, confidence, and financial fragility. readers are introduced to the idea that recessions can persist when private demand collapses, and that government fiscal and monetary tools can sometimes stabilize output and jobs. The book also examines the pushback, concerns that intervention can create inflation, distort incentives, or produce long-term debt problems. This back and forth leads into later debates over rules versus discretion for central banks, the role of expectations, and the difficulties of fine-tuning a complex system. By presenting these competing views as historically grounded responses to particular crises, the book helps readers understand why policy arguments can swing with events. The treatment shows that macroeconomics is not a settled playbook, but a field shaped by experience, evolving data, and political constraints. The reader gains a practical framework for interpreting headlines about stimulus, interest rates, austerity, and financial regulation without assuming any single policy is always correct. Lastly, inequality, globalization, and the moral questions economics cannot avoid, the book brings the history into contemporary terrain by focusing on distribution, fairness, and the global reach of markets. It explores why rising national income does not automatically translate into broadly shared gains, and why debates over wages, taxation, welfare, and public services remain central to economic policy. Globalization expands choice and can raise productivity, but it also reshapes bargaining power, exposes workers to international competition, and can magnify shocks across borders. The book highlights how economists have tried to measure well-being, evaluate trade-offs, and design institutions that balance efficiency with social protection. It also underscores that economics cannot fully escape value judgments. Decisions about what to maximize, how to weigh inequality against growth, and what responsibilities societies have toward the poor are partly ethical and political. By framing these issues within the long history of economic thought, the book shows that today's arguments about inequality, corporate power, climate constraints, and social safety nets are not new, but they have new evidence and new stakes. The reader is encouraged to see economics as a conversation that benefits from humility, historical awareness, and attention to both numbers and lived experience. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a clear, narrative introduction to economics without committing to a technical textbook. Students, journalists, professionals, and curious general readers will benefit most, especially those who hear economic terms in the news, but want to understand where the ideas came from and why smart people disagree. The value to a reader's life is practical. It builds economic literacy for everyday decisions and civic participation, helping you evaluate claims about taxes, inflation, wages, trade, and government spending with more confidence. By presenting theories as responses to historical problems, the book also reduces the intimidation factor and makes it easier to remember key concepts. Compared with similar survey books, its advantage is breadth with momentum. It connects thinkers and events into a single storyline, showing how one debate leads to the next rather than offering disconnected summaries. It also balances appreciation for markets with attention to crises, inequality, and moral trade-offs, making it useful for readers who want a rounded view rather than a partisan tract. If you want one accessible volume that explains the evolution of economic ideas and equips you to think critically about policy, it is worth buying. If you would like to support Niall Kishtiny, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.